This program may not represent the views of Bonneville International Corporation or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions from this broadcast are solely those of the individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of the Armature Corporation, providing consulting, application development, and business productivity solutions on the Microsoft platform. Federal Tech Talk is the show that opens up the world of technology to the federal government. Every week, John speaks with public and private sector IT experts to help you understand some of the IT trends and challenges that your agency may be facing. Federal Tech Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Now your host, John Gilroy.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Today I'm in the studio here with Doug Brashear. He is the Mobile Practice Director and Senior Information Architect at Navigation Arts, LLC. Good morning, Doug. How are you?
Good morning. It's great to be here.
I was at NavigationArts.com website a couple weeks back, and I actually saw a webinar, and Doug conducted it, and he did a wonderful job. And first, right off the bat, just want to say if you're a federal IT professional or a regular commercial IT professional, you have any questions about using mobile devices, I would tool on over to Navigation Arts and find that webinar and listen to it. It's a very, very good way to learn a top 10 list, all kinds of different topics about mobile, and I think it's a great place to start and maybe even end in your search for more information about mobile devices. Before we jump into this whole idea of mobile and mobile websites, Doug, tell us about your background, how you wound up at Navigation Arts, please.
Bachelor of Science from Carnegie Mellon. Then I came to the Washington, D.C. area to work for American Management Systems and was there for 11 years. And then back in 2005, you know, had heard about Navigation Arts and really liked the work that they were doing. So went and applied, had a great talk about vintage motorcycles with the CEO and a great guy named Leo Mullen, and joined the group and have been there ever since.
Yes, Leo was on here a few months back. Maybe that's why I went to NavigationArts.com to tool around and see what kind of information you had, and I'm sure that's got something to do with it. Most of my listeners are federal IT professionals, and the only reason they listen to the show is hopefully they can get a clue, maybe some toss them a bone, maybe prevent some headaches, and I go from topic to topic to topic, and I think this mobile topic is pretty hot, and I think a lot of my listeners are saying, well, geez, I'm managing this website. How do I make this website more web-friendly, and can I? Do I go HTML5? Do I go apps? Do I do nothing? Do I have a separate website? I mean, the list of questions here are just unending. Mm-hmm. So I'll just give you this big softball question and toss it out to you here. How have mobile government websites and apps changed here in 2011? I mean, just in the last 8 months, they've changed. How have they changed, you see?
I mean, I think the one thing I'd say is there's a lot more of them. You know, it's nice to see, you know, agencies are, they're developing more internal capabilities. Their staff are more knowledgeable about mobile technologies, and as are their contractors or the people that they're working with, and they're able to deploy some great solutions out there. And from what I understand, there's also a lot more interagency communication to help agencies and their web teams and their mobile teams, you know, avoid certain pitfalls and such, which is great. I mean, the extent to which lessons learned are shared is certainly obvious in the number of solutions that have been deployed.
Well, the Obama administration talks about engaging citizens. I mean, how can you engage citizens if all the citizens have handheld devices? So what you have to do is you have to change and maybe adapt and alter your website to appeal to that mobile audience. One of the facts I got from your webinar was 25% of the top 500 websites have mobile websites as well. Is that a good figure? What kind of figure would you say? Is that still good or is it high?
I think that's probably appropriate. The thing I'd say is that it just all depends on the nature of your organization, whether or not, you know, mobile is even appropriate for you. Some organizations use mobile to extend the information that's on their standard website. Some of them use it to complement their mobile website or other offerings to provide kind of an end-to-end service. You know, it just all comes down to what's right for the organization.
So find out who your users are, who the citizens are, and what kind of information they want. Maybe put the feelers out, do market surveys to find out what the citizens require.
Exactly.
Well, let's take a look at your experience. You've been with a couple different organizations. You've seen this mobile thing from its early stages to where it's developed now. Mm-hmm. What do you think the federal government should make its mobile web investments here for the next couple of years? What direction do you think they should head?
I mean, I think I think the best solution for the for government agencies is first, it's basically a two-pronged approach. The first is, I think, to get the data house in order. Basically, identify what data you have that can be deployed or reused by other organizations or even your own. Think about what's the infrastructure that this data is hosted on, and is it scalable? You know, can it handle a much wider spread access, being accessed from in many more ways? You know, are there APIs or other ways that people can actually get to the data without having to tap into your trusted and secure data sources? So I'd say getting the data house in order is the biggest is one of the most important things. The other one I think is, you know, once the data is available, third parties can leverage it and perhaps leverage it more adeptly or with faster time to market than maybe you can. I think the next best thing is to focus on the services that your agency provides and think about how to deploy how to make self-service solutions available. Obviously, the agencies know their processes best, know the rules and the guidelines and the governance that's necessary. I don't think, you know, syndication of data is never going to replace the people processes and the people who know these things best. I think complementing those individuals with some self-service solutions similar to some of the things that are being deployed on the web, I think that's the second way to go.
I have a friend named Dave Linthicum. He writes books about cloud computing. He loves this phrase inflection point. He talks about inflection point and hockey stick. And if you just take a look at people using mobile devices for web access, Japan is kind of a classic study where they've done the hockey stick. Well, so many mobile devices accessing website. We look at people from Morgan Stanley, and they have information on this. And some people say that 2012, next year, smartphones will exceed total PC people accessing websites. I mean, think about that. 1 year from now, people are going to have to just almost expect people to be accessing their website with a smartphone.
Yep. I mean, the interesting thing is that figure was from Mary Meeker's report while she was still at Morgan Stanley last year. Now she's at Kleiner Perkins, and her most recent report from February basically says that we've already hit that inflection point.
Wow.
Yep. That smartphone adoption is occurring faster than the adoption of any other personal technology from the past. For example, you know, she has a great slide in her deck, and the deck can be found online. It's a great resource that basically says, you know, the number of days that it took certain types of devices or certain technologies to reach 1 million units. And for most of them, you know, the Wii, you know, other types of gaming platforms or phone platforms from the past, it was tens or hundreds of days. But for example, for the iPhone 4, it took 3 days to sell 1 million units.
It's incredible. Yeah.
Yep. Basically, what they're seeing is that adoption trends for mobile are faster than they've been for any other technology, and they're accelerating year upon year. So it's not a straight curve. It's an exponential growth.
I have a lot of friends work for federal government, and very, very responsible individuals, and they take their jobs seriously, and they work hard, and they're there early and work late. And I think if I were, you know, managing a website for the federal government, I would be obligated to understand a lot of these concepts and maybe type in Mary Meeker, M-E-E-K-E-R, and look at her study and say, well, how can my website respond to this big change?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you have a choice. You have to, don't you?
Exactly.
There was a conference here a couple weeks back that tried to address that. It was called the Government Web and New Media Conference. And they had folks from two or three different agencies, and they talked about what methods and techniques they were using to take a look at this big change in this mobile web. Have you read about this? Did you attend this conference?
So I did attend, but I'll qualify that by saying that I attended virtually.
Well, then you attended.
So the great thing about this conference is that they put all their presentations, you know, all their MP3 podcasts online. I was able to download them to my iPhone and essentially listen to them in the car over a 3-day period, and it was a great experience. I mean, it's yet another example of how the phone can replace a certain device or help you be in two places at once, of course, with the help of the conference organizers.
So get efficient use of that car when you're sitting in traffic coming down to the radio station here, huh?
And there's so much traffic.
Yeah, they had folks from the interior, ATF and GSA, And they had them up there, and they said, okay, tell us what your approach is. And they all had pretty methodical ways of approaching the situation. One approach that you may want to consider is from the fellow from the interior. And he said, well, what you want to do is we want to start off by maybe testing different mobile devices and trying to get a handle ourselves on what they can do and they can't do. That seems pretty reasonable, I think, huh?
Yeah. I think thinking about the right mobile solutions to deploy really comes down to a small number of factors. It seems like a really intimidating decision, but when you break it down into the individual components, you really are pointed in the right direction. I mean, I think first you want to look at what devices are people already using to try to access the information you already have. So going through your web logs and taking a look at, you know, what smartphone user agents, you know, show up on those web logs. I think it comes down to thinking about the device capabilities that your solution might need to leverage. You know, do you want users to be able to access their location and somehow have that involved in the interaction? Do you want them to upload or take pictures or what have you? And kind of the extent to which you can utilize these different device capabilities is going to be one thing that helps point you in a direction.
Hey, take a quick break here. We'll get back, talk more about best practices for federal IT professionals to consider changing their website to be more mobile friendly. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today we are speaking with Doug Brashear, Mobile Practice Director and Senior Information Architect at Navigation Arts, LLC.
Why should you take krill oil and omega-3 fish oil? Well, if you are concerned about any of the following, you should absolutely be taking both. And if you qualify, we'll even give you a risk-free trial of a pharmaceutical-grade fish oil combined with the super antioxidant power of krill. But first, you have to answer yes to one of the following. Are you concerned about your joint health? What about your memory and focus? Are you concerned about your heart health? Well, if you want to increase your joint comfort by 28% in just 7 days and promote memory, focus, and heart health, we're going to give you a free bottle of Krill Omega-3 Fish Oil. Just call this toll-free number and claim yours. 1-800-900-6118. We guarantee once you try Krill Omega-3, you won't believe the difference. That's why we're going to send you a free bottle just for calling. Call now for your free bottle and start easing sore joints today. Call 1-800-900-6118. 1-800-900-6118. 1-800-900-6118.
This is Dan Tullis, and I just called
Joel Clark,
one of Select Quote Insurance Services Term Life Agents.
Hi, Mr. Tullis.
Joel, how does Select Quote save you money on term life insurance?
Well, buying term life insurance is all about choosing the right company. Let's say you take antidepressants or you smoke. All insurance companies are going to price that differently. We'll impartially shop all the companies we represent to find you the best price.
Can you give me an example?
Sure. I just got a man, 40 years old, who takes blood pressure medication, a $500,000 policy with a highly rated insurance company. His price, $21 a month.
Call 1-800-500-0351 and see how affordable term life insurance can be. That's 1-800-500-0351. 1-800-500-0351. Or go to selectquote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at selectquote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
At Equity One, they know you are more concerned than ever about outliving your money. With all the bumps in the road through your retirement years, it's vital that you map out your retirement to protect your principal and gains, minimize taxes, keep more of your Social Security check, and enable your investments to effectively fight inflation. Call Equity One today at 1-877-313-4080. That's 1-877-313-4080, and they'll help you learn how to invest your money with market gains without market risk. If you're a saver, they'll show you how to fight inflation, preserving and increasing your purchasing power without risking your savings. As you age, you can less stand the losses and lack of liquidity in the market, as life has given us less time to recover. Equity One, Inc. looks forward to hearing from you. Call Equity One today at 877-313-4080. That's 877-313-4080. Or visit Equity, the number one, INC.
The Federal Drive is every weekday from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Federal News Radio 1500 a.m. Hear interviews, news, perspective, and analysis from Tom Temin and Amy Morris. The Federal Drive team will help give you the important information you need about the federal government and how it impacts your organization or agency. Tune in 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. or go to federalnewsradio.com. The Federal Drive is sponsored by CDWG. CDWG, the people who get it.
It wasn't so long ago that collaboration was a bad word in government. Today, we know that the only way to solve our biggest challenges is for industry and government to work together to collaborate. At its upcoming Management of Change conference at the Homestead in Hot Springs, Virginia, ACT IAC provides an ethical and trusted forum to explore solutions to our most pressing IT challenges. Be a collaborator. Register for Management of Change today at actgov.org. That's actgov.org.
Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, live, Doug Brashear, Mobile Practice Director and Senior Information Architect at Navigation Arts LLC, doing a little mobile madness this morning, talking about mobile websites and strategies and how to change and how to consider it. And the first section of the show, we talked about just the incredible ramp up of people using mobile devices, all kinds of them out there. So my question to you is from the perspective of a federal IT professional, what are the most influential government change agents in this whole world of mobile?
I'll have to say that, you know, some of the speakers at the Government Web and New Media Conference really helped me understand that, you know, there are some incredibly intelligent people in these agencies. And I'd also say the same thing from my past experience at HHS. The one thing I'll say, though, is that the undeniable thing here is that the number one change agent for mobile is the user themselves. The users themselves, you know, the constituents, the citizens who are essentially demanding mobile access to the information and services that different agencies control or maintain. It's just undeniable. So I think, you know, more than an individual within an organization sort of proselytizing to the masses, I think what's most important is just listening to what the users have to say, actively soliciting their feedback in different ways, looking at the analytics that kind of point to what they want to do, you know, given the phones and the phone agents that show up on your analytics reports. And I think just helping them get what they're already asking for is probably the biggest change agent effect I can think of.
You know, I think many of my listeners have this inferiority complex. They go, oh, I'm working with the federal government, our hands are tied, we got to worry about security, this or that. If you just open your eyes, look at the IRS. Look at the IRS 20 years ago and the IRS today. We filed our tax return electronically, had the money sent back to us electronically, bang. Yep. No problem at all. And these people have done the ramp up. I mean, if you look at the percentage of people filing electronically, that is a hockey stick. That is an exactly. Inflection point. And that was a very difficult problem for any large organization. They turned on a dime. They did it. And that's the exact same thing that maybe the IRS, maybe everyone's going to have to do as far as this mobile approach.
I think, just to cut in, I think there's some great models out there, too. I remember a number of years ago being at a one-day seminar where some folks from NASA were there talking about their social media platform, their social media successes, and now going to the apps.usa.gov website, and you see, you know, the NASA apps that are available and sort of the usage around them and the download numbers and the comments and such. You know, I think that, you know, NASA is a great example of an organization that is really, you know, easily on par with the private sector in terms of, you know, deployment of, you know, Web 2.0 or mobile technologies.
Okay, here's a question. You got to know the answer to this. When we look at operating system for phones, what is the breakdown between feature phones and smartphones? Give me a rough idea.
I mean, the funny thing is that these statistics literally change every month. And I think that even the projections for where things are going to go, they have to be revamped every month because the curve is definitely accelerating. I think the last that I had seen was that smartphone shipments were now outpacing feature phone shipments. So,
wow! And that, just in 3 months, it's changed.
Exactly, and I would say right now it's pretty much, I think, a dead heat between iPhone and between iOS and Android. I think that, you know, BlackBerry usage does seem to be waning. Of course, you know, with the persona or the audience types that a federal agency or even an enterprise might be dealing with, it's still obviously a force to be reckoned with. I think that that right now the usage statistics or the trends, you know, can really be baked in a couple different ways. I heard some folks from Google a couple weeks ago basically talking about how they really don't necessarily see apps, being kind of the bread and butter for them, that they really see mobile search and mobile web usage as being kind of the bread and butter, if I may paraphrase them. But I think you also have to take that with a grain of salt, because obviously that's the core of their business, mobile search, and being able to leverage mobile search in mobile web and advertising results. That's very important for them. I mean, of course, Apple will say that, apps are the bread and butter for them. And of course, content providers, will talk about how apps are really the best thing for them. But one of the reasons why it is the best thing for them is because that may be the only way they can monetize some of the content that they already have. So you sort of have to, look at the source of the information and sort of see, what's their vested interest. But I would definitely sum it up by saying that, right now it's a dead heat and you should be planning for at least iOS and Android for the near future.
Incredible. Let's go back to this little group, three agencies, Interior, ATF, and GSA. They talk about their approach. There's a fellow named Tim Quinn, and seems like a pretty reasonable fella. What he says is, well, first of all, test different devices, maybe try to, see what people are using, and then figure out how to manage them, and then look at apps. It's just the opposite of what I would do is I'd run out and say, look at this app, isn't it cool? And then Tim would go, no, John, hey, just cool it. Back up here, sit down, take a breath, and then let's first of all find out where this information is coming from, how we manage that. I mean, I think this is a step that people jump.
Yep, I'd absolutely agree. I mean, I think everyone probably has dealt with the person who comes running up to them and says, we need an app right
today,
now.
Today, this afternoon.
Exactly. The app is the hot thing because it's what everyone's talking about. It's what you're downloading. It's kind of the focus of the experience on these mobile devices. It's the construct around which the entire experience
is. It's the sizzle, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But what I would say is that you have to think about what is the best way to reach the largest number of people in the shortest amount of time. And if I were to recommend an initial mobile solution, that's what I would say. At Navigation Arts, we have kind of a maturity model that we use to evaluate an organization's mobile capabilities. And at the bottom of that, at the bottom of that model is essentially, things like a mobile website or maybe an SMS program. Of course, it depends on the nature of the organization and their mission and such, and what types of users they're serving as a constituents or as an enterprise user group. Then from there, we would of course recommend complementing, a device agnostic kind of mobile optimized website with, one or more apps. The apps can help to convey the similar information, or they can complement the initial solution, possibly in a service design kind of way. But really, to us, the highest level of organizational capability for mobile is when all the channels are synergized, all the channels kind of integrate and talk with each other and leverage each other's capabilities. I think a great example for this is Yelp. Yelp basically enables you to review restaurants and things like that. You can kick off a review from your mobile device. You can take a picture that's geotagged. You can add a star rating. But Yelp will not let you finish that review on the device because they want you to access the website when you have a big keyboard in front of you, when you don't mind entering a lot of text, and they want you to give a very thoughtful review of the restaurant. That's basically their business model. So this is a great example of a service design, a multi-touch point service design.
I'm a big black and white guy. It's either here or it's not there. It's either a gasoline car or it's a diesel car. You're either a Steelers fan or a Redskins. Well, there's a whole lot more than professional football out there. And I think this is a very good point, is that what you have to do is you really have to consider what the end user application is and then alter your website to that, because there's not going to be any cookie cutter, well, this worked at ATF, so it's going to work for us. Well, yep. Maybe it won't. Well, it worked over Interior, so it's going to, well, maybe it won't. But I think the principles, the approach that Tim Quinn has, he's over Interior. His approach may not result in the same end game as yours, but I think the approach of taking a look at those devices that come to your website and then how are we going to manage the information that come in there and then select the strategy from there. Mm-hmm. Strategy seems to be so important that even in the commercial world, most people aren't even designing websites unless they have that strategic objective in mind and mobile strategy as well.
Absolutely. I think the big thing there is that, in my opinion, the scope of your strategy effort is going to determine the scope of possible success. So if your strategy effort is only focused on your main website, there's really no chance you can, or there's very little chance that you can succeed in mobile, because your goals for mobile, your solutions for mobile, haven't been integrated with the overall overall thought.
I have to take a quick break, come back, talk more about this group of federal IT professionals that talked about managing mobile devices and websites, kind of an interesting topic today. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, Doug Brashear, Mobile Practice Director and Senior Information Architect at Navigation Arts, LLC.
For over 40 years, ManTech employees have been solving complex problems for the national security community. Whether they're providing secure satellite communications to the Department of Defense or investigating threats in cyberspace for intelligence agencies, their work is distinguished by high ethical standards and a deep commitment to their customers' success. They've created a culture that encourages individuals to bring innovative ideas and technology to those charged with protecting the homeland. Due to the high demand for ManTech skills and expertise, they have tremendous career opportunities for cleared, highly skilled IT professionals. Security experts, intelligence analysts, engineers, and technicians. In 2010, ManTech was selected for Fortune Magazine's 100 Fastest Growing Companies list, named a top 10 best employer for veterans by Military Times Edge Magazine. And for the fourth year in a row, was selected as a top 10 military-friendly employer by GI Jobs Magazine. Apply for openings today at mantech.com/careers. That's mantech.com/careers. ManTech is an equal opportunity employer.
Nurse means noble. Nurse means selfless. Mothers nurse their children. You nurse someone back to health. If there were ever a group of people more on the give side of the give-take continuum, it would be news to us. I mean, why does one become a nurse? Because working 8 at night to 10 in the morning is so appealing? Because the glamour of day-to-day encounters with a wide variety of bodily fluids is too much to resist? Nurses are nurses because their capacity to care is colossal. Their sympathy, superhuman. Even when you try to act all steely and businesslike, you can't fool us. We still see the love in the tough. We can still hear that gargantuan heart all squishy with compassion thumping away. So while too often you yield the spotlight for just this moment, we're asking all the nurses out there to do what clearly doesn't come natural and take a bow. Kaiser Permanente, may our 45,000 nurses all live long and thrive.
Kaiser Foundation Health Plan of the Mid-Atlantic States Incorporated, 2101 East Jefferson Street, Rockville, Maryland, 20852.
Here's Cheryl Rogers, Director of the Office of IT Optimization and the Office of the Assistant Administrator for Information Services and CIO at the Federal Aviation Administration on the Federal Executive Forum on Virtualization and Data Center Consolidation, sponsored by DLT Quest Software.
The other challenge that I'm spotting around data center consolidation, we still have a lot of systems that really were designed and architected around a decentralized environment. And so you can't just automatically, yank those things up and just throw them into the cloud.
To listen to the whole program, made possible by the Trezza Media Group, log on to federalnewsradio.com.
Your IT infrastructure is complex, and it's going to keep getting more complex unless you do something about it. Quest Software Solutions simplify managing your IT environment, increase security, leverage your existing assets, and help you reduce costs. Physical, virtual, and in the cloud, Quest Software is simplicity at work, and it's available through DLT Solutions. Simplify. Thrive. Quest Software. Learn more at dlt.com/Quest Software.
Hi, this is Wayne Zell, host of Blueprint for Wealth, every Saturday here on Federal News Radio at 10 a.m. Join me this week for my special guest, Catherine Medina, Executive Director of Rebuilding Together Alexandria, a 501c3 that helps low-income families keep their homes in good shape. The show is brought to you by Odin Feldman & Pittleman, a full-service law firm located in Fairfax, Virginia. Visit us on the web at ofplaw.com.
Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, your source for federal news, now.
From text messages to apps, games and email, the mobile internet is becoming a bigger part of our lives every day. And whether we live in the city or on the open countryside, all Americans should benefit from mobile internet investment. That's why Light Squared is investing in the first nationwide wholesale-only 4G LTE mobile broadband network, complemented by coast-to-coast satellite coverage. By partnering with wireless service providers, retailers, and device manufacturers, Light Squared is making seamless, ultra-fast mobile broadband a reality for every American. Send an email from the Grand Canyon. Download movies in minutes while on the go. Make calls hundreds of miles from the nearest cell tower. It's all possible with the Light Squared network. Light Squared, lighting the way to a wireless broadband revolution. Learn how Light Squared is creating jobs, encouraging innovation, and investing in vital American infrastructure at lightsquared.com.
Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today we have Doug Brashear in the studio. He's the Mobile Practice Director and Senior Information Architect at Navigation Arts. For more information, you can go to navigationarts.com and pull up his webinar and get a very thorough 30-minute methodical discussion of many of these points. We're kind of a rambling discussion here. That's a very, very methodical point-by-point-by-point discussion. And here's a point of discussion I'd like to bring up. I think many of my listeners are thinking about this, too. Well, okay, we talked about apps, and so if I select an app, I've got to vote. I've got to vote Android, or I've got to vote Apple. Or what about HTML? Should I just sit and wait? I mean, there are some very smart people who are saying apps, yeah, put them on the shelf because pretty soon everything's going to be HTML5 and we can do a whole lot with HTML5. Where do you see this all happening? Should you do all three or two, or what should you do?
I mean, the interesting thing is right now there's a bunch of different options for deploying even app solutions. So generally, the term is native app when you're developing an app that is specific to a certain platform. So if I want to develop an iPhone app and it's going to be in Objective-C and everything, and it's only going to be for iOS, then that's essentially a native app. It's in the language of the operating system. There's something called a hybrid app, which is essentially an HTML and JavaScript and CSS web experience that's kind of wrapped in an app container. This is the type of thing where you can create it once, you can deploy it to many different platforms with very little work. There are some great technology solutions that help you do this. Some are PhoneGap or a product called AppCelerator, Titanium. And essentially, it enables you to have this multi-platform reach, but really deploying the same type of content that you might have on your mobile-optimized website. And really, the only difference is, some of the guiding principles might be in choosing one over another is the level of interactivity that's necessary. Because once again, I mean, these hybrid apps that are web experiences, they have certain limitations with them. There might be certain device capabilities that you can't leverage through these things, and there's a certain level of interactivity or smoothness that in the past hasn't really been possible, but with things like technologies like jQuery mobile and everything, these experiences look more dynamic and more visually interesting.
What about HTML5? Do you buy off on this, put on the shelf and wait till it gets mature?
No, I think the time to start developing for HTML5 is really now. I understand why Apple did the boycott of Flash the way they did. Flash was a great technology for many years, but the problem is that the way different developers were using it, they weren't using it in a way that made the best use of the computer's resources, the RAM and the processing capability. And so you'd have these Flash experiences that were very processor heavy, the types of things that just would not fly on mobile devices with fewer of these resources. Steve Jobs and the people at Apple essentially made a decision, and that was have shoddy experiences or choppy experiences and show the Flash, or suppress Flash, push the industry in a new direction, and one that was going to make better use of the resources, and that's sort of what they did.
I see mobile devices with dual processors, four processors. I mean, think you put it in your little pocket and have four processors in there. Mm-hmm. Think about 15 years ago. You would have laughed me out of the room if I had told you that, but that's what's going on now. So I can see the processors being more powerful, but still that doesn't negate the point of HTML versus Flash, and Flash has some security issues with it as well. Mm-hmm. That's interesting. Here's a question for $10,000. tell me about the breakdown of operating systems, Android, BlackBerry, and iOS. How's it, just a rough breakdown?
So Android has really taken off. I mean, I think that Google's strategy for essentially making it widely available, not really charging the royalty for it, has really benefited them. Device manufacturers have really grabbed this as a way of selling more devices, and that it's really led to this explosion in the installed base for Android. The difficulty here is you have to sort of look into the numbers a little bit more. The thing to keep in mind about the comparison between iOS and Android is that there was a period of time where where the iPhone was only available on AT&T. So people who were locked to Verizon, you know, didn't really have any ability to have the iPhone. Android was a close second in their mind. And to be honest, I think that's one of the reasons why they have this faithful base, was because, you know, it almost seemed like, you know, perhaps the carrier was limiting their choices or something. Either way, the Android, you know, devices are really nice. I know from the developer standpoint, there are some difficulties in creating experiences for Android because of the differences in hardware capabilities, or the extent to which certain carriers or certain device manufacturers have kind of customized the Android base. So, you know, this is what a lot of people refer to as fragmentation, and fragmentation has kind of made Android a little bit more difficult to develop for.
Speaking of Android and apps, there's a big security company called Symantec, and if you see what they have to say about security, they say that 25% of all Android apps have malware attached to them. Seems kind of high. I don't know. I mean, is that a fair statement for you?
I mean, I think that they have actually, and there's a more recent report. I can't really remember the exact numbers, but there is a double digit percentage of Android apps. You know, they make it into the Android marketplace. It's partially because, you know, one of the benefits to deploying on Android is that it doesn't have this multi-week kind of approval process that the iTunes App Store does. But also the bad side is that, once again, you know, the apps aren't necessarily vetted in maybe the way that they could or should be. So it does lead to, in some cases, there have been some wholly inappropriate things that have made it into the app marketplace. There have been, you know, identified malware and such. You know, I think these things, perhaps they have occurred in the iTunes App Store, but I'm sure the proportion is much, much lower just because of the rigorous approval process.
2 weeks ago, I was in Herndon, and I parked my car, and I was walking down to go to Panera, and in the parking lot, there was like a stop sign, except it had this strange QR code on it, and it said, click here for discounts, and it was in front of like a taco place or something. I'm saying to myself, well, QR, they're really being deployed in a lot of different places, aren't they?
I mean, I think the opportunities for mobile marketing right now are huge, and QR codes are just one way you can make that happen. The nice, essentially, what a QR code is, it's a 2D barcode, so it's kind of a grid of dots or such, kind of a grid pattern. And you can scan it with certain applications on your phone, and it will essentially bring up on your phone whatever content you want it to bring up. And I mean, typically it's a URL for a web page. The nice thing is you have control over that URL. It's not like scanning a UPC symbol in a store and it kind of opening up, you know, to the price search every place that lists that UPC code. You really have control over the content for the 2D barcode. You know, thinking about QR codes and SMS messaging, you know, proximity messaging. There's so many different ways you can reach that customer now through their mobile device. And I would just say the most important thing, kind of like developing a mobile strategy or a distributed digital strategy, is that when you think about marketing, you have to think about how all your different efforts are going to interplay. So, for example, if you're already sending out email newsletters, you have to think about the person who's reading that newsletter on their mobile device, and what if they click one of the links in that newsletter? You don't want them really going to your full screen website, you know, on their mobile browser. The browsers these days are good, but a mobile optimized experience is generally much better. So you have to think about the way people are going to use these things and the tasks they're going to perform and how your different solutions are going to help them get the information they need.
I have some listeners that may not be interested in marketing, especially federal folks. But you know what? What if you're in a warehouse? And God, there's a lot of federal warehouses out there, and you have to manage certain types of information. I can see that's an application for QR code. Mm-hmm. I think in the next 10 years, we're going to see QR codes applied you'd be lost in a warehouse and a QR code will say this is what goes here. We're not. Yep. I mean, there's very practical applications because you're carrying around the phone, and instead of wondering where you're at, I mean, that could be an application for that. Or I can see for parts. Mm-hmm. I can see for. I mean, look at the armed forces; they have so many different parts to worry about for airplanes. I think that's one application, and not only for marketing, but for a whole lot more than than the simple marketing applications. Mm-hmm. We're going to take a break. When we get back, give you a little test here. It's a personal information about your own web viewing and your own hardware devices at your own, and talk more about mobile design for federal IT projects. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, Doug Brashear, Mobile Practice Director and Senior Information Architect at Navigation Arts.
The Pentagon and Beyond, brought to you by Airink.
The CIA has declined to comment on a report that the identity of the station chief in Islamabad has been exposed. By all accounts, the agency appears to be suggesting it will not bring home the chief. It was just last December that the previous station chief in Pakistan was outed and had to be recalled immediately. Experts say sour relations between the U.S. and Pakistan are the reason why this kind of activity is happening. I'm J.J. Green.
When you think of forensics, a popular TV show with crime scene investigators probably comes to mind. But have you ever thought about forensics at the 30,000-foot level? Literally, Airink has. Airink and their partners help oversee the airspace above the nation's capital and have the ability to recreate virtually any situation to indisputably determine the facts, marrying everything from voice recordings to video to GPS. Log on to ARINC.com. to learn more.
Why should you take krill oil and omega-3 fish oil? Well, if you are concerned about any of the following, you should absolutely be taking both. And if you qualify, we'll even give you a risk-free trial of a pharmaceutical-grade fish oil combined with the super antioxidant power of krill. But first, you have to answer yes to one of the following. Are you concerned about your joint health? What about your memory and focus? Are you concerned about your heart health? Well, if you want to increase your joint comfort by 28% in just 7 days and promote memory, focus, and heart health, we're going to give you a free bottle of Krill Omega-3 Fish Oil. Just call this toll-free number and claim yours. 1-800-900-6118. We guarantee once you try Krill Omega-3, you won't believe the difference. That's why we're going to send you a free bottle just for calling. Call now for your free bottle and start easing sore joints today. Call 1-800-900-6118. 1-800-900-6118. 1-800-900-6118.
This is Dan Tullis, and I just called
Joel Clark,
one of Select Quote Insurance Services' term life agents.
Hi, Mr. Tullis.
Joel, how does Select Quote save you money on term life insurance?
Well, buying term life insurance is all about choosing the right company. Let's say you take antidepressants or you smoke. All insurance companies are going to price that differently. We'll impartially shop all the companies we represent to find you the best price.
Can you give me an example?
Sure. I just got a man, 40 years old, who takes blood pressure medication, a $500,000 policy with a highly rated insurance company. His price, $21 a month.
Call 1-800-500-0351 and see how affordable term life insurance can be. That's 1-800-500-0351. 1-800-500-0351. Or go to selectquote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at selectquote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Federal IT professionals need to make tough decisions. What goes to the cloud, what doesn't? If you are a federal program manager and would like to learn more about decision-making, come to a free breakfast forum brought to you by Armature. Our speaker will be Dr. Ernest Foreman, professor of decision science at George Washington University at AFEI headquarters near the Courthouse Metro, and you'll be out by 9 a.m., moderated by me, John Gilroy. For more details, go to afei.org.
Concerned about your health? Then be sure to catch the groundbreaking radio show Essentials of Healthy Living, brought to you by Village Green Apothecary in Bethesda. Join hosts Dana Lake and Kevin Passero as they bring you the latest news about traditional and alternative medicine, dietary supplements, nutrition, and healthy living. Tune in every Sunday at 10 a.m. on Federal News Radio. Visit myvillagegreen.com. Listen to past shows and discover other healthy living resources. Essentials of Healthy Living is sponsored by Garden of Life and Himalaya Herbal Healthcare.
It wasn't so long ago that collaboration was a bad word in government. Today, we know that the only way to solve our biggest challenges is for industry and government to work together to collaborate. At its upcoming Management of Change conference at the Homestead in Hot Springs, Virginia, ACT-IAC provides an ethical and trusted forum to explore solutions to our most pressing IT challenges. Be a collaborator. Register for Management of Change today at actgov.org. That's actgov.org.
Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in studio, the famous Doug Brashear, Mobile Practice Director and Senior Information Architect at Navigation Arts, talking a little mobile madness here, talking about how a federal IT professional can alter their website to make it more relevant in the world of the mobile web. There's a question for you right there. Let's start off with that. How can a typical person, you know, make their websites more relevant for this whole world of mobile devices?
I think a lot of it comes down to the data that's powering the website. Of course, you know, the foundation question is, what is your organization? You know, what is their mission? Thinking about the when people use mobile devices, how they use them, where they are when they use them, what's best to maybe deploy to a mobile device. You know, thinking about the small screen and the limited text input capability, that would further narrow things. But I think, you know, when it comes down to a web, so for agencies, for example, that already have a website and they're thinking about what might be the best, you know, content to provide, maybe from that website. Maybe it's already been determined that that website has some content on it that is really ideal for a mobile solution. I think a lot of it comes down to how is that content served up on the website, and can that same technique be used to serve it up in a mobile manner? It may involve accessing a syndication feed, an RSS feed. It may involve streamlined logic of some website functionality to actually make it work in a mobile environment. And there are a lot of companies out there that actually do this. You know, there's this idea of a mobile adaptation of your existing website. In some cases, it involves screen scraping. Screen scraping is traditionally an ugly word, but for mobile, it's one technology that helps make a lot of mobile experiences out there possible.
So what you say is start with the end users, the people using your site, find out what they want. Well, let's start with you. Well, you're a typical end user. Do my little up-close and personal survey here. Got about 10 questions for you, Doug, and maybe the people listening are scratching their head and wonder what kind of computer he uses. What was the first year you bought a computer, or your first computer?
Well, the first computer was one that my parents brought home one day. It was it was probably in 1987, and it was an IBM 5155. The thing looked like a big white suitcase. It had this yellow and brown screen. And
boot with a floppy, right?
Yeah. Two floppy bays.
Oh, a two floppy one. My friend was with one floppy.
And the lamest game of flight simulator you've ever seen.
How many email addresses do you have?
Right now I have four.
Okay. Home computer?
Is a new MacBook Pro.
Good. And I assume you have both operating systems on there, is that right?
Exactly.
And your connection?
Is Fios.
Good experience with Fios?
Very good experience with Fios. I'd recommend them to anyone.
So I got to ask you about your cell phone. What kind of cell phone do you have?
It's an iPhone 4.
Okay, so we know it's iOS. Oh my goodness, how many apps have you downloaded so far for your phone?
So looking at what's in my iTunes account on my computer that I sync with my phone, it has 400 in there, but on my phone right now I only have 200.
Wish I could get a bell, bing, bing, bing. Well, this is a silver date. What about these silly tablet devices, iPads and Kindles? Do you have anything like that?
So I do have an iPad. The interesting thing is I'm still trying to figure out what niche it really serves in my life. You know, what's the real purpose? What's the value proposition for me? It was more or less an experiment. And there are certain things that I have found it super useful for. I think it's an all-star for media. But other things, you know, I think I would reach for the laptop instead.
Social networking. I found you on LinkedIn this morning. What other services do you work in?
Facebook and Twitter.
Okay. And here's a funky question because I'm a funky old guy. Last book you've read, piece of paper book even.
I read Programming the Mobile Web. It's it's an O'Reilly book that it came out recently.
Well, your boss, Leo Mullen, would like to hear that.
you made
some points with that one, and make sure you write that one down. Well, there's up close and personal. Got a better idea from the listener's perspective of who we're dealing with here. Let's talk about these apps. Now, you have 200 apps on your phone, and you've talked about all kinds of them. You know, I've heard statistics that 95% of apps people download, they maybe use once or not of at all. Mm-hmm. Good number, bad number? What do you think?
That is an absolutely true number from all the statistics that I've heard. And I think I can attribute it to a couple different things. Some of the apps, people go into the App Store or the app marketplace, and they read these summaries of the app, And it's based on that summary or a personal recommendation from someone else that basically says, okay, am I going to download this or not? Obviously, sometimes price is also a factor. But once they download it, if the app isn't compelling enough, if it doesn't do really what the person thought it was going to do or do it as well as they thought it was going to do, that might be something that would cause them to abandon. You know, in a lot of the projects we work with, you know, there's essentially an app discovery timeline. You know, you hear about it or someone recommends it. You go into the app store and you learn about it. Then you essentially make a decision. Do I download it or do I forget about it? And after you've had it downloaded and you start using it, you essentially make the decision. Do I adopt this? Does this become a part of my daily phone usage? Or does it get relegated to kind of a side page, or does it get deleted? So I could easily categorize a lot of the apps I have in that way. For example, I have two main screens, you know, that are just apps, no folders. Then my third and fourth screens are just folders. They're things I don't use quite so much. And then the fifth screen is essentially everything that I've downloaded recently that is still kind of in the evaluation phase.
Interesting topic here, talking about apps here. It's kind of hard to believe, but actually you can pay someone to write an app for you. You can probably get a company to write it for you for free and for sponsorship, or you can even lease an app these days. I mean, so many creative ways to do this. What does it cost? I mean, you know, just from the perspective of someone maybe thinking about doing, you don't have to have any specific number here. I mean, it's difficult to say. Is it $40,000 or $50,000? I mean, how much does it cost to write an app?
I would say it can start at $30,000 for something basic, maybe a newsreader or some basic, you know, syndication or mobilization of basic content that you have. I've heard, you know, not only estimates from some of the people that I work with, but from other organizations that we've talked to, that, you know, some of their top end or higher end projects have gone all the way up to $250,000.
Wow.
You know, for very transactional things. I mean, when you're going to spend that much, it's essentially you're not in it to make money from the app. It is something that is essentially fueling one of the core functions of your website. Maybe it's enabling a hotel reservation or something like Amazon, where it's actually one of your main purchase channels. You know, these are people that are making that from that $250,000 investment or more or an ongoing investment. You know, these are people that are making millions and millions of dollars from the sales through these channels. And I mean, the thing to keep in mind, probably the number one thing I would say about mobile is that it's not a project. You know, when you get invested in mobile, you have to think about it like your website. You know, is your website ever really done? You know, when was the last time you thought, is my website done? Or do you go back and periodically look at it and plan for the future and plan the next iteration of it? You should definitely think about your mobile solutions in exactly the same way.
And in planning, you should consider apps. But in planning a mobile website, guess what? You have to worry about video. You have to worry about people with handheld devices getting video from your website. Who'd have thunk it? Another concept there, isn't it?
Exactly. Video is huge right now, and generally is thought to be the number one thing that people are doing on their mobile devices these days. For people, it's great. You know, the video technology is great. The screens on these devices are great. You know, accessing the content via Wi-Fi, you know, gives, you know, high streaming speeds and enables a very nice complete experience. You know, you can transfer movies, you know, from your computer onto your mobile device and have a great viewing experience. And my daughters have done that a couple times with movies on my phone. You know, really the biggest question or the biggest difficulty, I think, for especially streaming video really comes down to the carriers. You know, it's probably the biggest problem for the carriers, because as more and more people use these higher bandwidth services, you know, it carriers have to scale their capabilities in highly populated regions, because, you know, more people are using more of their bandwidth.
One thing that maybe your girls will be interested in, I'm sure there's some listeners here, real quickly, don't have much time left, augmented reality. You can do that on phones now, can't you? Just like Tom Cruise in the movie.
Right.
Minority Report.
It's funny, I sort of think augmented reality is a technology that's really occurred before its time. you know, you think about the fact that you can hold this screen up or hold this phone up, and whatever image is sort of being captured through the phone's camera is then overlaid with data. You know, not to plug Yelp again, but I think a great consumer implementation of this is Yelp's Monocle, where essentially you can be in an area, you can kind of bring up Monocle, bring it close to your face, and have this data overlaid on top of what you see.
Great. Nice, simple way. Nice, simple word. Works in the marketing world. Love to continue this conversation. We are running out of time. Maybe have it come back in 6 months and everything all changed, and then talk about new, more information on augmented reality and QR codes, and we didn't even touch on NFC. So
it'll
so
definitely
topics.
Change.
Yeah. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gill right here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today we're speaking with Doug Brashear, Mobile Practice Director and Senior Information Architect at Navigation Arts, LLC.
You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of the Armature Corporation, providing consulting, application development, and business productivity solutions on the Microsoft platform. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Federal Tech Talk, Tuesday mornings at 11, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, your source for federal news now.